The city of Berlin has been making some tough decisions lately. As state aid for education declines, Berlin is struggling to keep its schools open. And it's not alone. Some towns have brought lawsuits, saying the state isn't covering enough education costs. Others pin their hopes on school funding debates in the State House. As part of our series Adequate, NHPR's Sarah Gibson takes a close look at the funding crisis in Berlin and why many say similar troubles are around the corner for much of the state.
Can you guys get some chairs from here, please?
2 months ago, the Berlin School Board gathered in the high school library to make an agonizing decision what to do with the city's last standalone elementary school, Brown School. For years, they've cut corners on things like maintenance and staffing to avoid closing it. But tonight, they have to face the numbers. The money's not there. Board member Lynn Moore speaks up.
I make a motion to close Brown School.
She covers her face with her hands. There's a long silence.
We have a motion and a second. This is a roll call vote, isn't it? Roll call vote.
Mrs. Valier.
Yes.
Mr. Lozier.
Scott Lozier, another school board member, shakes his head. He can't bring himself to do it.
You can't abstain. You have to vote yes or no.
No.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Vice Chair votes yes.
And with that, a school closes. After the meeting, Chairwoman Nicole Plood says she's angry.
We did our job tonight, and it was awful. It was very painful. They need to do their job down there so that we can open next year.
The they she's talking about are lawmakers in Concord. The Supreme Court told them in the 90s to figure out how to fund schools fairly. In her 12 years on the school board, Plood has watched the state chip away at aid and Berlin respond with tighter and tighter school budgets.
There's nothing left.
Many here say there's nothing left to cut and there's nothing more to tax. Like most cities and towns in New Hampshire, the money for Berlin schools come from two main sources. The first is local property taxes. The problem is most of Berlin's property isn't taxable. It's national forest, state and federal prisons, and government land. So in order to raise enough money, the city relies on a small number of businesses and homeowners. Their property values are pretty low, but their tax rate is high, nearly twice the state average. That hits homeowners hard.
Hello, my mom is here with my son, which is fantastic. So this is kind of one of the reasons why we moved back.
Kelly Poulin lives a few blocks away from the high school. She and her husband grew up here, but then moved away for college and watched from afar as Berlin's main industry, the paper mills, shut down. Hundreds lost jobs and left, but the Poulins moved back and bought this house, green, two stories with huge windows.
You see Mount Jasper and Mount Forest. And you just look out and it's peaceful and tranquil.
Poulin paid around $200,000 for this view. She says her property taxes are now around $10,000 a year, a two-thirds increase from 15 years ago. And in the last few years, she's noticed a decline in city services as Berlin funnels more money to schools. The budget for police and fire departments are shrinking. The streets are crumbling. The plows and garbage trucks need to be replaced.
I think people always say, oh, well, we're doing something wrong with our money here. We're not doing something wrong here in the city of Berlin. Things have changed statewide that have affected Berlin.
Aside from property taxes, the other way Berlin pays for schools is with money from the state. This aid covers around half of the school's budget. For years, Berlin and a bunch of other towns got extra money because they were property poor. But recently, the state's been gradually reducing this aid, called stabilization grants. Berlin and the other schools are getting 4% less of this funding every year for the next two decades until it's gone entirely. This slow annual decline is one of the reasons Berlin closed Brown, its last neighborhood elementary school. Principal Melanie McCoy says they now have a lot of work ahead of them.
So how it's going to look is this side will be the elementary K through 2.
She brought me on a tour of the building where Brown Elementary students will now go to school. It was built nearly 100 years ago as a high school. Now they have to retrofit it for little kids by next fall. McCoy points to the concrete stairs, which don't have a guardrail.
It's not the best situation because of the stairways and kindergartners and first, they're tiny little things.
They'll have to build guardrails. Fine. In the bathroom, they'll lower the urinals, and along the playground, they'll build a fence. But there's another problem. Even with the money saved from closing a school, Berlin can't foot the bill for security upgrades like new fire alarms and secure doors.
This building is so large, and there's so many access points, it terrifies me. I think about it at night.
In another wing of the building, middle school teachers are bracing for their own changes. To make room for these new elementary school students, they have to move into the high school down the street. For middle school science teacher Jamie Welch, that means figuring out what to do with his fish tanks.
Baby trout in here. We hatch these from eggs.
But there's hundreds of them in the rocks.
Right now, he has his own room. But when he moves to the high school, Welch will be sharing a room with a few other teachers. He won't have time to prep labs before class or have his own space for grading papers and planning lessons. He worries he'll have to change his approach to teaching.
You know, you came in here and you see all the animals and the things that are in here that make the science room a science room. Those are mine. That's my classroom, but will that be my classroom at the high school? You know, will I still have my animals? And, you know, will the science teacher I'm sharing with be okay with that?
Welch says the school just told him he can't buy any more supplies, including for his lab.
There's 3 months left. The money's gone. If you want to do something, it comes out of our own pockets now because we're trying to just survive for next year.
We still do not have it figured out.
That's Nicole Plood, the school board chair we heard from at the beginning. She says after all these difficult decisions, they're still over budget. So it's time for more cuts.
Yes, we closed the school. We've trimmed everything all along the way. But now we are at a point that it is jobs. It is programs. It is some sports. It's the real painful things.
In the last few years, as the state has cut annual aid, over 20 staff have left or retired from Berlin. The school board hasn't filled those positions. Instead, it's used that money to pay for rising special education costs and other items like teacher retirement and health insurance. The board has tried to avoid laying off staff, but they might have to in the next few years. Plood says when she looks at how much wealthy towns, a couple hours drive south through the mountains, how much those towns can raise through property taxes with far lower tax rates than Berlin, it feels like two worlds in one state.
I've often wondered if people from some of these wealthier communities, if they would put up with this, if they would sit quietly, had this been their children's school. We really need to recognize that kids move all over. How we educate them here matters. How we educate our kids, no matter where they are in the state, matters.
Plood is watching the State House closely these days. A few bills would stop the cuts to stabilization aid, but she worries even that would just buy Berlin a few more years. She's hopeful lawmakers will go back to the basic funding formula and increase per-student aid. But she says she can't build her school budget on hope. For NHPR News, I'm Sarah Gibson.